With your Bibles open, let's just have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, it's such a privilege to come to you this morning, knowing that you are the Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth. There is no one like you, never was and never will be, for you are the eternal God. And Father, thank you so much that we have your word, your revelation to us, so that we can learn, and not only learn, but Father, that we can be edified, challenged. Your word is all sufficient, and I pray this morning that your word will speak to our hearts, that we will take it to heart, understand your word, and as Stefan prayed, apply it to our lives. And Father, as we do that, and as we walk in obedience to you, we pray, Father, please enable us to be obedient. Help us to make that move or to take that move and be obedient to your word in all things, all aspects. And enable me this morning as your servant to teach your people, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. On Thursday afternoon, a young man approached me and he asked me for a lighter because he wanted to light his cigarette. And while Frederick went to go and fetch a lighter, we started talking. And the conversation turned out to become a conversation about the elections tomorrow. I hope you're all aware of the fact that we have elections tomorrow. And he boldly told me that he was not going to vote because the ruling party has disappointed him to such an extent that he believes it's useless to vote. Now, I do not believe this young man is a Christian. First, he was under the influence of liquor. Second, his vocabulary was very limited. He had a few words that he repeated often. And his outlook on life is definitely not the outlook of a Christian. So his decision not to vote for the ruling party is not based on any biblical grounds. It's based on something else. I will share it with you now. But just speaking about biblical grounds when voting, tomorrow everybody that registered to vote can vote, can cast their vote, and I believe that we as believers should make sure that whichever political party we vote for, we do it by not violating what we believe Scripture clearly teaches. Because it seems like sometimes Christians vote with the Bible tucked away, and they just vote the way that they think, instead of using Scripture as the basis for voting. And to assist you in knowing what the political party, or some of the political parties, not all of them, what they stand for, I asked Stefan to print. This is an adjusted guide from savotersguide.org, given out by, I can't remember who exactly. I wanted to give them, but anyway, it's given out every time there's an election. And it actually speaks about the different issues that I believe Christians need to know about, especially when it comes to voting for political parties. I'm not doing a political speech. This is based on what that young man spoke to me about. And some of the issues that are discussed on this, or set, you will see it on the left-hand side. I've left some over there you can take after the service if you want. But are things like whether a political party acknowledges God in the Constitution or not, whether they are for or against abortion, whether they embrace same-sex marriage and the LGBTQ agenda, those kind of things. It's all up, all in there. So I want you to, please, if you want to, take one of these guides and then you can see what the different parties, what they stand for. Now, we strongly believe in liberty of conscience, which means I will not tell you who to vote for. That's not my job. That's not what I'm supposed to do. But what I can do is to give you the information, because I do believe that there are many people who do not know what the political parties believe that they vote for. So please, it doesn't matter whether a political party governs well or whatever, It's what they stand for. We are believers, and we have to vote according to biblical principles rather than vote with our hearts. All right, so please take one, and then tomorrow when you go out and vote, vote as a Christian in the first place, and not as someone who is uninformed. Now, with that said, back to this young man that I had this interesting conversation with on Thursday. Now, in the conversation, there was something that he said that is relevant to this message this morning, because my theme for this morning is when obedience is hard because of fear. When obedience is hard because of fear. You see, this young man said that he is afraid to vote for another party. This is kind of what he said. He was afraid to vote for other parties. And who was he afraid of? Or who is he afraid of? Why will he not vote? I mean, we live in a democratic country. He has a constitutional right to vote. The people that he obviously are afraid of is the people around him, the people that know him. And he might slip that he didn't vote for the party that he normally voted for. Now, in a country where we are supposedly free to vote for whoever party or whatever party we want to vote for, this young man is so afraid that he will rather not vote. And this is kind of a secular thing, hey? This is voting. So fear is preventing him from voting for another party, other than the ruling party. But he has a constitutional right to vote for whoever he wants. And nobody will actually know. No. When you make your little cross on that piece of paper, nobody will know where you make your cross. Still, young man, well-educated, middle class, very, very intelligent young man that I spoke to. So fear is preventing him from voting for another party. Now, beloved, fear has a numbing effect on people. In fact, fear has the ability to prevent us from doing what is right. Fear even has the ability to hinder us from being obedient to God. Now, when we live in fear, we tend to take the route of least resistance. Have you noticed that? I mean, this young man will rather not vote because that's the kind of the route of least resistance for him. It's his decision. Nobody tells him that he has to. It's his choice. But that's his route of least resistance. And that's kind of what we do when we are faced with fears. Because of whatever reason it might be, we would normally take the route of least resistance. We tend to look for the easy way out. And even in our Christian walk, we look for the easy way out. This young man I spoke to decided not to vote because that is his path of least resistance. Instead of overcoming his fear and to go and vote according to his conscience, and because he has the constitutional right to do so, he gave in to fear. That's basically so unfortunate. But that's his reality. Now, I want you to understand me correctly. I'm not saying it is easy. There is such a thing as intimidation. There is such a thing where people are being intimidated not to do what is right. Or they are intimidated to the point where they become so fearful that they would do certain things even though their conscience tells them something else. People are afraid. In his case, it kind of shocked me because I didn't think that was still possible after so many years of democracy in South Africa, that people are afraid to vote for another party. Now, when believers, and let's bring it back to us now, because you see, fear not only touches secular life and the things that we do in the secular world, it touches our obedience to God. Fear has that numbing effect on believers. It's one of those things that when it gets grip of you, it just squeezes all the life out of you. Now, when the believers desire to be obedient to God, they can also be overcome by fear. And when they get overcome by fear, they normally take the route of least resistance. That's a natural way of handling fear. I read the following, and I found it very interesting, and I quote, it says, "Following the course of least resistance makes men, as well as rivers, crooked." Let me say that again. Following the course of least resistance makes men, as well as rivers, crooked. I believe this is very, very true. If we always take the easy way out in situations that we might face, we will not become stronger as individuals. If we only obey God when things are easy, we will not become spiritually strong. In fact, if we always try to do what comes easily, it will cause our personal and our spiritual growth to suffer. That's the reality. When we always try to do things which are easy, we will not be able to please God, because God sometimes expects us to do things that are not easy at all. He expects us to obey Him, whether it's easy or not, whether it's hard or not. He expects us to obey Him. And it's amazing how easily we will just read over those commandments in Scripture that are hard. Have you noticed that in your own life? I've noticed it in my life. I will read it, but I will kind of just go through it as quickly as I can to get to those ones that I know. Okay, these ones I can do. These ones are easier to do. Because there are some things in Scripture that are hard. Very hard to obey God. Now, this morning, we're going to take a few minutes and spend some time looking at the title for this morning, which is "When Obedience is Hard Because of Fear." You see, obedience to God is normally hard when we are afraid of people. And I think that's the greatest fear that we have. It's the fear of people. And I think, and that's just my observation, that people fear other people more than they fear God. That's why you will find that people will obey other people or give in to other people more than they will obey God. Because in a sense, people experience the wrath of other people immediately, no? Or they experience rejection from somebody else immediately. Where God's judgment is still to come, it's future. It is somewhere in the distant future. That's why we don't fear God. Because we do not see His wrath now. We don't see His judgment now. And when God does bring about His judgment on people, and when He judges people in different ways, people don't see it as God's judgment. They just say it's natural. But it always amazes me how people would fear other people rather than fear God, who has the ability to take soul and body and cast it into hell forever and ever. People can only touch our body, and that for a very short period of time. But that's a problem, is the fear of people. So I would like us to quickly look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy. And I want you to notice the first words that the Apostle Paul says to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. In the New King James, it reads as follows. He says, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And then he says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Now, at face value, you would just say, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, as if Paul is just urgent here. When, in fact, that's not what it is at all. In fact, the Apostle Paul had to issue a forceful order to Timothy. It's like a forceful directive to Timothy to preach the word. Paul is very serious here when he speaks to Timothy. He says, I charge you, I forcefully order you to preach the word, Timothy. That's what this word means, to charge. You see, Paul reminded Timothy not only that he had to preach the word, but he reminds Timothy that, Timothy, you are standing before Jesus Christ and God the Father, and Jesus Christ is going to come back and he's going to judge this world. He's going to judge the living and the dead. Timothy, the reason why you have to preach the word is because Jesus Christ is going to judge this world. He's not going to come as the suffering servant. He's not going to come as the Lamb of God. He's not going to come as the one who is taking away the sins of the world. He's going to come back as the judge who is going to ask, have you been obedient to me? If you have not been obedient to me, you will be judged and condemned to hell. And the first thing that people have to obey is the gospel, the good news. Where the gospel is preached and people hear that they are sinners on their way to hell, that sin entered into this world, which meant that the wrath of God was going to come down on every single person. But then the good news of the gospel, that Jesus Christ took our sin upon himself as he died on that cursed tree. He died, he was buried, and he rose victorious over sin and death on the third day. That's the first thing that people will have to obey. And if they do not obey the gospel, they will be judged by Christ. And Paul has to remind Timothy, not just remind him, no, sorry, forcefully order Timothy to preach the gospel, to preach the word, because Jesus is going to judge people one day. And Timothy has the answer. Timothy has the good news. He can tell them, listen, there's hope. But if Timothy keeps quiet, people cannot hear the gospel. They cannot hear the good news. They cannot come to salvation, which means they're going to stand before Christ one day and Christ is going to judge them and cast them into hell. That's the repercussions of Timothy not preaching the gospel. That's why there's this charge on Timothy to preach the word. Now you can say, but wow, that's because Timothy is a preacher. He was called by God to be a preacher. This applies only to preachers. Nope, not true. Remember Matthew chapter 28, verse 19? Jesus says, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and lo, I'm with you until the end of the earth. That's a command to every single believer. We're all called to preach the gospel. So this is not just for Timothy, this is for everyone. And why do we preach the gospel? Stefan said it so beautifully. Because we love sinners. We would love them to come to faith in Jesus Christ, to become saints, to become brothers and sisters in Christ. We love them. But then also, there is the fact that Jesus Christ will judge them one day and cast them into hell if they do not obey the gospel. It's serious. But why? Why was it necessary for Paul to charge Timothy? To forcefully order him? I believe it's because Timothy became afraid. Timothy was filled with fear. And that fear was for people. He was afraid of people. First thing, before we touch on fear, it's possible that Timothy believed he was too young, and because he felt he was too young, that's why he felt, no, I can't preach the word. I can't just go and share the good news of the gospel, and I cannot preach God's word to everybody because I'm too young. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, we read, "Let no one despise your youth." This is Paul speaking to Timothy. He says, "Timothy, don't let anyone despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Let no one despise your youth, because Timothy had a problem with the fact that he was still a young man. Just like Jeremiah, hey? With his excuse, "I'm still a youth, Lord. I can't speak on your behalf." Most probably in Jeremiah's life, there was this aspect of fear as well. He was afraid to go to the nations and preach to them what God is saying. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, just a few chapters before our text, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, listen to Paul speaking to Timothy. He says, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Then verse 7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So Paul reminds Timothy, "Timothy, you did not receive a spirit of fear." Because chances are that Timothy was afraid of people. So, instead of Timothy being obedient to God to preach the gospel, to share the word of God to people, he was afraid of the people. So he didn't do it. For him, it was hard to be obedient to God's call because he felt he was too young and he was afraid. You see, Timothy was supposed to patiently teach sound biblical doctrine with the goal to convince, to rebuke, to exhort his listeners. And let me tell you, if you come to people and you convince them of the truth of God's word, they're not going to like you. If you come and convince them that God's word is true, they're not going to like you. If you come and you rebuke someone who has sinned, they will not like you. If you come with exhortation, people won't like what you have to say, and most probably they're going to turn against you. You see, when you start speaking the word of God boldly, truthfully, people don't like what you're saying. Of course, they would rather be scratched in their little itchy ears. That's what people want to have. So Paul had to order Timothy to be obedient to God's call and preach the word. Not be afraid of the people. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, he says, "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership." You see, Timothy had a clear calling from God. Not only was he called by God, he received a spiritual gift. God actually enabled Timothy to go and preach the word. He received the Holy Spirit, now God, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, indwelled Timothy, just like he indwells every single believer. He indwelled Timothy, and he gave Timothy the gift to be able to preach the gospel, to preach the word of God. But guess what? It didn't prevent Timothy from being afraid and not doing it, that Paul had to rebuke him. See, for Timothy, it was hard to obey God. Even though he had a spiritual gift received as a gift from God, he wouldn't use his gift. Because to receive a spiritual gift, to fulfill God's purposes and God's plan, does not mean that someone will automatically be obedient to God. That's where people make the mistake. Obedience is not easy. There are times when obedience is hard. And when we fear people, like I nearly said, it's even harder then. We can experience it as being very hard because we fear people. Now, beloved, every single born-again believer has at least one spiritual gift from God. Quickly turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Because sometimes when we read the Bible and we read about Timothy, we say, he was the pastor of the Ephesian church. Yes, he was a young man. He had his own issues and troubles and whatever. That doesn't really involve me. It's got nothing to do with me. You see, I'm just a normal believer. When in fact the principles that we find when Paul speaks to Timothy applies to all believers, to everyone, because we are all called by God. Not everybody is supposed to be behind the pulpit, but we are all called to preach the gospel. We are all called to preach the word of God. We are all supposed to share our testimony. We are all supposed to correct people that are wrong, correct them with the word of God. We are all called to do that. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says the following. Speaking about believers now, he says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. So each believer receives a gift, at least one gift from God. And he says, as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, and that's basically the speaking gifts. Now, Peter breaks up the gifts into two groups. The one is the speaking gifts, which means the gifts that we use to proclaim the good news, the gospel, the word of God. So he says, whoever speaks, which means whoever uses the speaking gifts, as one who speaks oracles of God, which means someone who has the gift of speaking the word of God needs to use the word of God. Not come up with their own ideas, but speak the word of God. Speak what God's word says. And whoever serves, that is the serving gifts, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And Timothy received the gift of preaching when the elders laid their hands on him and they prayed for him. But I believe his fear for people and the fact that he had this misunderstanding of his youth caused him to neglect this gift that God had given him. And Paul had to force him, and I'm putting force in inverted commas, forcefully write to him that he should obey God and use what God has given to him. And maybe this is a good place where I can ask you, what is your gift? Do you know? And if you know what your gift is, are you using it? Are you really using it? Are you being obedient to God's call on your life? Beloved, when we fear people, and I'm talking about fear now within the context of our theme for this morning. When we fear people, we can easily fall into the trap of becoming disobedient to God because of the numbing effect that fear has on us. You see, you cannot fear people and obey God, especially when it comes to sharing the truth of the word. If you fear people, you're not going to speak the truth of God's word to people. You're not going to. The two are exclusive. They're not inclusive. You're going to do the one and you're going to neglect the other. Now you must remember that the unsaved will always be offended by the gospel. They will always be offended by the word of God. That's because they are being challenged. That's what the word of God does. The word of God challenges us on our lives, the kind of lives that we live, on the sinfulness of our lives, on our holiness, on our obedience. There are so many things that the word of God actually challenges on. So if you go to the unsaved and you challenge them with their sinful lifestyles, they're going to be offended. And that's, by the way, the gospel. You cannot preach the gospel and tell them about the good news of Jesus Christ and say you need Jesus Christ without telling them the bad news, that we are all sinners on our way to eternal hell, separated from God for all eternity, and we need Christ as our Savior, our only hope of salvation. You cannot preach Christ without preaching sin. And that offends people, because people inherently believe that they are good. Everybody believes they are good. For some other reason, they believe they are good. See, beloved, we are commanded to preach the gospel. We are commanded to speak forth God's word, whether people like it or not. Whether people are offended by it or not, we are called to preach the gospel. Timothy became afraid, and it caused him to keep quiet. He wouldn't speak out anymore. Or it could be that he only started speaking the things that are easy to talk about. And that's what we hear nowadays. So many preachers who only talk about the love of Christ and the love of God and prosperity and all these wonderful things. They do not touch on God's judgment and the wrath of God and the fact that God demands obedience. They don't talk about that. Because when they speak about these things, people become offended. Because you know what? The gospel actually offends believers as well. The word of God offends believers. Did you know that? I have seen many believers become offended when I tell them the truth of God's word. I've seen it. You can see it on their faces as if they want to kill you. How dare you speak this? Or how dare you tell me what God's word has to say? And you can see it. It's on their face. Now, if you're afraid of people, you'll keep quiet. Because you don't want to see this. You don't want to see people being offended. Yet that's what the gospel does. The gospel offends. That's exactly what it does. 1 Corinthians 1:22 and 24-24 says the following. The Apostle Paul speaking to the Corinthian believers, he says, "For Jews request a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." We preach Christ. We preach God's word, but we know it's going to offend people. Someone said, and I want to quote, "When we no longer find the gospel offensive, it's because there are areas in our lives we consider off limits for gospel change." When we no longer find the gospel offensive, which means not just the gospel, but the gospel and God's word, if we don't find it offensive, then it means that there are areas in our lives that we consider off limits to gospel change. We don't want God's word to touch those things in our lives because they've become sacred little idols in our own lives. Dangerous place to be. But you see, we are called to share the gospel with the unsaved, and we are called to share God's word with one another. And I'm called to share the truth with you, God's word, whether it offends you or not. I'm sorry. It offends me as well at times. Because I have to submit to God's word as much as you have to submit to God's word. Proverbs 29 verse 25 says the following so beautifully. It says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. The fear of man brings a snare. If somebody fears man and what man can do to us, you can be sure of it. There's a snare. You will be caught. And it's interesting how the first thing that goes out the back door is the preaching of the gospel. Can I ask you a question? When was the last time you shared the gospel with a non-believer? Or has that mask that you have on your face shut the gospel down inside of you? Yet, we are called to go. But I can't go because I don't have a passport. A COVID passport. I don't have it, so I can't go. Let me give you a few reasons why people fear other people. Sometimes it's just a need for approval. Because we love the approval of men rather than the approval of God. Or it could be fear of disappointment. Of disapproval. Which means people are not going to approve of me. They're not going to like me as much. And I want everybody to like me because I'm such a likable person. That's being sarcastic, by the way. Or maybe it's need for acceptance, or it's peer pressure, or the reason why we fear people is because we are in need for honor, or a need for recognition, or we're just afraid of criticism, or we are afraid of being humiliated. There are other reasons as well, just a few. Let me close with this. I would like to just bring to your attention two examples. Two examples of people besides Timothy now. All right, Timothy, called by God to preach the gospel. He was afraid. That's why the Apostle Paul had to say to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, that we did not receive a spirit of fear. We have a spirit of discipline, by the way. That's what Paul says in that text. We have a spirit of discipline. We discipline ourselves in being obedient to the call of God. That's what believers do. We discipline ourselves because we have the spirit of God dwelling with us that enables us to be disciplined in our obedience to God. That's what the scriptures clearly teaches us, while Paul clearly taught Timothy. So Timothy was afraid, but there's two other examples that I quickly want to share with you. The first one is Peter. Remember Peter? You remember the man that denied Jesus three times? And the one time it was with a servant girl. A man. And apparently Peter was quite a chubby guy. He was a biggish guy, couldn't run that fast. And he denied Jesus Christ three times. And amazing, when the people confronted him about Jesus Christ, he didn't open up his mouth and say, yes, he's my Lord, he's my Savior, I walked with him for 3 years, I know him, I know he's the Messiah. I want to tell you about all the things that he did. I was there. I saw him raise people from the dead. I saw him forgive sin. I saw him do miracles like you cannot believe. No, no, no. Peter denies Jesus in front of a servant girl. I do not know him. He covers up his fear with lies. He knew Jesus. He walked with Jesus for 3 years and he tells her he doesn't know him. Thing is, you and I, in our conduct many times, when we are with friends or we're with people who are unsaved or we're with people who just do not look at life the way we do, We know what the truth is, but we do not speak the truth. We know who Jesus is, but we do not speak about Jesus. We know what Scripture says, but we don't talk about what Scripture says. We're doing exactly what Peter did. We are denying Jesus. And do you know where that comes from? Fear of men. To be afraid of people. But the same Peter, after he was filled with the Holy Spirit, remember when the Holy Spirit came upon them, the same Peter was the one who got up, preached the gospel, 3,000 men came to salvation that day. Amazing. One of the most amazing sermons written down in Scripture. Boldness like you cannot believe. The same Peter later on ended up in prison. And he wouldn't keep quiet about Christ. Later on, that same Peter had to be rebuked by Paul. Remember? When he was among the Jews, he would act as if he doesn't know the Gentiles. He became a hypocrite. When he was with the Gentiles, the Gentile believers, he would be friendly with them and, you know, all these wonderful things with them. But the moment he was with the Jews, he denied the Gentiles. You see, that fear of man was so ingrained in Peter that even after he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and we talk about Peter becoming so bold and doing all these things, he still was afraid of people. And Paul had to rebuke him. So there are times when you and I need to be rebuked hard, strong, in the strongest language possible, because we all will face it some other time that we will fear people more than we fear God. And that's a bad place to be. Bad place. We are called in the first place, and God commands and demands obedience to Him in the first place and in the last place. And if we are not obedient and we see our fellow brothers and sisters not being obedient, then it is up to other believers to remind them and to rebuke them and to do whatever is necessary to get them to become obedient to God again, because we are commanded by God to be obedient to Him. Another example. Nicodemus. Remember that guy? He was a Jewish leader. He came to Jesus by night, John chapter 3. Why did he come by night? Under darkness. Why didn't he come to Jesus during the day and stood in front of Jesus and said, "I want to know something about salvation, tell me." No, he doesn't do that. He does it when it's dark. Most probably so his fellow Jews would not see him. Those who were in the Sanhedrin, those who were religious leaders, Jewish religious leaders, wouldn't see him. Because chances are that he was afraid of people. But he would go and see Jesus at night so that nobody can see him. Let me tell you, beloved, there are many people who do the same thing. Many people. We all face the fear of people at some other time in our lives. Don't believe or don't think that you are exempt from the temptation to fear people more than we fear God. We're all tempted. I believe that's why it's written down in Scripture, so that we can hear what God has to say and then obey Him. So this morning, There's this challenge that goes out to each one of us to allow the Lord to examine your own heart. I can't do that. The person sitting next to you can't examine your heart. But God can. The Holy Spirit can. And maybe it's a good time for you and I just to have a little bit of quiet. A little bit of time of quiet reflection. Allow the Lord to do some self-examination. Where do you stand with regards to obedience to God? Where do you stand with regards to fearing people more than you fear God? If you are where you're supposed to be, if you are disciplined and you obey God in all things, praise Him. Well done. Continue doing it. Because that's what God demands from us. He demands us to obey Him. He doesn't say, for nothing, keep my commandments. But this morning, if you sit here and you know that you have not been obedient, I believe that the text, the principles that we find in Scripture this morning, is crying out to you and to me to see where we stand so that we can repent and become obedient. Because at the end of the day, even if it's hard, we are called to obey God and not fear people.